Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, let's just say you are on your way from Jerusalem to Jericho, or perhaps from Kailua to Honolulu, if you want. You're going out from the heart of your religion, the heart of the place of who you are, and you're going into your daily life. But along the way, you were assaulted, you were robbed, and you were left alone. Whatever it seems was of your religion, the place that you left has now left you as well. It was taken. You are stripped of a very good way to represent yourself, the thing that you seemed always cling to. You are robbed of your worthiness, whatever is to your credit. And the priest who would receive your sacrifice is just plain old not interested. In fact, he just walks by. The Levite who would assure your righteousness does not. You have no power, you have no treasure, nothing to offer, nothing with which to prove or to defend yourself. You are utterly dependent and deeply alone. In fact, you're in the ditch. There's no reason to love you anymore. Your enemy draws near and bends over you, and you think this is the end. Your fear, what you reject, what you despise, literally looms over you. But here's the surprise. That's what heals you. The one you distanced, the one you held off at arm's length, makes you a neighbor. The one you judged shows you mercy. The one you refused to love loved you with action. My friends, we are loved without reason. We are saved. We're not successful. We haven't accomplished our salvation. We are simply dependent on mercy and the one who can show us mercy. Only the vulnerable, I think, can teach us trust. We need the poor. We need to learn to receive. And I think we need the guilty. We need to learn to be forgiven. Without them and without one another, how desolate would we be on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, poor and naked, lost in the land of grace? Help. We need the help of one another. We need the love of one another. We also need the love of the stranger, not just those whom we know and those who are like us. We could lie shivering in the rags of our own self-sufficiency, or we could feel the grace and mercy given in that precious love, or what we say is aloha, when we accept that from another, and also when we offer. Helping, it's a really curious thing, isn't it? Helping can change lives. It can make the world just a little bit better. But also, after many episodes of help, time and time and time again, it can also make us a bit weary or tired. In fact, there's even conferences on those who are caregivers, caring for the caregivers, if you will, because often so much help makes one a bit drained. If it goes too far, it can make us even cynical. If we're not careful about our intentions, about why we're being the helpers. Sometimes the help is appreciated. Sometimes it's not. Either way, I think the intention behind the help that we're offering is really the key player. Why is it that we're doing what we're doing? In fact, in a world and in even a society of so much tragedy and so much disaster and so much disappointment, I think it's easy to understand in some level why the Levite and the priest in our gospel story might have just walked on by. Of course, we could rationalize and say they had their own religious rules and laws that they had to follow, right? But something deeper, too. Maybe they had already helped too many people for the sake of feeling good, so that they were too burned out. Or maybe they had an overwhelming concern of their own and they were in their own need and place for help. Maybe they were just too plain hurried, didn't want to touch someone who was beaten and dirty, which would mess up their plans. Maybe they felt it wasn't their own problem. A really great book called How Can I Help? By an author named Ram Dass. It's D-A-S-S. The book takes a really wonderful, deep, spiritual look and profound look at help and the nature of helping, both giving and receiving. Through telling story after story of how others are helping one another, he points to the real depth and the intention of helping. He said that the person doing the helping is almost always the one who ends up actually being helped, being changed and transformed in ways that least expect. It's true, isn't it? So often we end up helping someone else and we're surprised at how we end up being helped and cared for too. But even more important is the reality that helping is a mutual act. There has to be someone on the other side of help. Each person participates in the helping and being helped. In other words, sometimes we have to allow someone else to help us. Notice I said allow. Someone can't just come in and help us when we don't want it, right? So in reality, healthy and balanced helping is about building relationships of mutual care and compassion. I think it's really important to look at this point here in the story. It's often, I think, overlooked. If we were to have heard this story in Jesus' time and Jesus' day, from perhaps Jesus himself, we might catch it a little bit easier. That the man that was beaten is one of us. That we could be the ones in the ditch. You or me, left on the side of the road to die. Each one of us from time to time needs help, right? We are at times that person. And like the priest or like the Levite, perhaps the prestigious people, they just walk by us and they don't help. The people we expect to give us help, those who are seemingly always there or even it's their responsibility to help. Perhaps sometimes they don't. They're too important or they're too bothered to be with a simple person in their simple suffering. If more people would just understand and practice, I think, genuine, compassionate helping, understanding that we are all on an equal plane, that none of us is greater or better than the other, then we can anticipate that one of our neighbors would come and help. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes it is the stranger who just walks by or an unsuspecting person who might offer us help. For us, like the man in the story, the Samaritan would most likely be the person we dislike the most, or perhaps the person that we're afraid of. And Jesus' point is, I think, just as the beaten man needs compassion of the Samaritan, we too need the care of those we dislike, those we distrust or are afraid of, to help us show true compassion. It sort of turns our lives and the story on its head a bit. But likewise, we too are supposed to share compassion and love with those whom we dislike. It's not just this nice little story of, you know, easy being played out, people walking by, not helping those important people, and then, oh, isn't it nice, somebody comes along and helps. No, it's complex, and it's deep, and it's spiritually challenging. Jesus tells us that having compassion on the stranger, but especially those whom we dislike, those who we want to keep at arm's length, That is how we build and how we experience the kingdom of God. Not some far-off kingdom in some distant place or distant, you know, never-ending land, but right here, right now, God's reality amongst us. So what is the kingdom of God? Is it some reward that we're trying to work our way to in the near future? Sometime in our life or after death, we hope to experience that kingdom of God? No. It's right here and right now. Moment to moment. The way we help others need not be grand and extraordinary. And while helping someone may make us feel good about ourselves and think, oh, hey, check. Little check mark in heaven. You know, some people talk about that. It can be sort of a motivating self-perk. But feeling good about ourselves won't be the primary reason that we help. Not if we want to be the compassionate arms and hands and feet of Christ. We help, I think, because that's what it means to be Christ's presence here. In a curious way, we often find that in the end, we who are supposedly doing the helping are in fact the one who's helped and cared for. Showing compassion and love for others isn't easy, especially when it's for people we don't like. But we're not called to like everyone. We're not called to be best friends with everyone. We are called to act as Christ has acted and to love as Christ has loved. It's a profound question, I think, we're supposed to ask ourselves. How can I help? It's a simple question, and perhaps we've offered that question to a friend in the recent days, and it's a good thing to do. But think even deeper. How can I help for those who might not be expecting it from me? The answer can be simple. Look carefully around you. You're bound to see someone in the ditch of life. And when you do, offer them a kind word, a strong hand, a loving heart. But then again, don't be too surprised if you are the one in the ditch receiving the help. Amen.